You're listening to Simply the Best Sports Take, the best podcast breaking down the best stuff in sports with host Sean Bingham. His takes are so good, he dropped the mic, but then you wouldn't be able to hear him, and that would suck.
Welcome into STB Sports Takes, Simply the Best Sports Podcast. I am your host, Sean Bingham. Thank you for being here. We are on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor Podcasts. Everywhere you get your podcasts, we are there. Please hit the subscribe button, whatever platform you are on. Thank you for being here. It's been a long break. I was in Brazil for 2.5 weeks on some work trips. I do some corporate retreats for companies, and I took Anthem Pest Control down there for a week. It was a spectacularly fun time, and then I had Moxie Pest Control down there for a week, and it was also a successfully spectacularly fun time. I'm trying to say that fast. Successfully, spectacularly. Those are words that I shouldn't put together again. Okay, but long time off. Sorry for all of you diehard fans out there that were waiting to hear from me. A ton has happened since then. First thing I got to say right off the bat, we all need to collectively celebrate Alabama lost a regular season game. Hallelujah, Bama goes down. That was a spectacular game. They play Tennessee at Tennessee, and Tennessee has not beaten Nick Saban ever. They have never beaten Alabama since Nick Saban got there in like 2005 or whatever it is. That's like 17 years of them not being able to beat this guy, home or away. And they finally get him. It was a really good game. So let's all, you know, collectively cheer about that. Maybe we'll get a teeny bit of parity in college football this year. That could be something. Sticking with college football, we're going to move right into the obvious BYU versus Utah. They didn't play each other, but there's this always this in-state rivalry. Who's the better program? Who's got the better team? Who had the better wins? And when they don't play each other in a year like this year, it's a stupid argument, but it's a really fun one to argue like these hypotheticals of like who's better. Well, the argument is pretty much settled at this point. There's a lot of football to be played. Maybe things can switch, but BYU has fallen from grace. They went from 4-1 and number 16 in the country. Lose to Notre Dame, lose to Arkansas. Now they're 4-3 and just irrelevant for the rest of the year, pretty much. There's no conference championship to play for. We're obviously going to get into some sort of, you know, mediocre bowl game. But, you know, playoffs are completely out of the picture. We're not playing our biggest rival. I'm saying we because I'm a BYU fan. But, you know, you're not playing your biggest rival. You don't have a conference championship to compete for. You're not in the running for the playoffs. This is the issue with college football. This is why I struggle to really like it. There's no parity. We have to actually clap and celebrate on the podcast when Alabama loses because they just never do. And then a team loses a couple games, and all of a sudden, there goes your season. And so with the NFL, I was telling this to a friend yesterday. With the NFL, every game matters just enough to keep you interested, but just little enough to have it not be the end of the world if you lose, right? In the NFL, you can go 11-6 and have a legitimate shot at making a playoff run. You'll make the playoffs most likely at 11-6, not guaranteed, but very, very likely you make the playoffs at 11-6 in the NFL. 12-5, almost it's almost a certainty. And so you can have 5 losses and almost guarantee yourselves a spot in the playoffs, and anything can happen on any given Sunday. College football, that's just not the case. If you're not one of the top dogs from the top conferences with all this history behind you, 1 loss ruins your season. 2 certainly does, especially if you're independent like BYU. So BYU goes from 4-1, ranked number 16, has that signature win over Baylor to brag about, and now BYU is 4-3, lost to Notre Dame, lost to Arkansas, completely unranked, and no signature wins to brag about. Why? Because Baylor is 3-3 and unranked, obviously, at this point as well. So Baylor has proven to not be that great. Arkansas was supposed to be a big game, and they came in 3-3, and now they're 4-3 because they beat BYU. So BYU's season took a turn for the worse real quick. Again, still a winning record. I'm sure BYU will go and get like 4 more wins, I'm sure, at least, probably 5. But that's, well, how many games do they have left? 5, right? Maybe they go 5-0. But the bottom line is there's no conference championship. There's just nothing to get me super excited about BYU football. Like, I mean, I love college football. I love BYU. But But for you BYU fan, you diehards out there, what is it you're excited about at this point? I would genuinely want to know, because you're not competing for a conference championship. You're not playing your in-state rival, Utah, your only real true rival. You're not playing them. So you don't have that game to get up for and look forward to. We already know the bowl game's going to happen. It's going to be a mediocre game. A couple thousand of you will travel there. The stands will be probably two-thirds empty, you know, half empty. It'll be some random bowl game in December that has some sponsor we've never heard of. So what is it that really excites you? Is it just because it's fun? Like, the competitor in me has a hard time accepting that. It's like a participation trophy. That's what college football has become in a large respect if you are in a position like BYU, or really in the position of most schools, with the exception of the conference championship. That's exciting. If you're in the hunt for a conference championship, that's exciting. So that's my issue with college football. I love it. I still watch it. I follow it. I'll talk about it on here. But that's an example of why I prefer professional sports over college sports. There's way more parity in professional sports, way more. We already know the teams that'll be there for college football: Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, right? Like, it's so obvious, like year after year after year after year, it's the same thing. In the NFL, we don't know what's going to happen, you know? There's different champions. It's almost impossible to repeat, to win two Super Bowls in a row. It like almost never, ever happens. It's so uncommon. It has happened, but it's extremely uncommon. So I just love professional sports more. This is not to hate on college football. I'm just saying, if you're a BYU fan, what are you excited about? Now, let's shift gears to Utah fans. Utah just handed USC its first loss of the entire season. Utah is the highest-ranked two-loss team in the entire country. Utah is in the hunt for a Pac-12 championship, which means they're in the hunt for the Rose Bowl. Those are things to be excited about. Those are things to be looking forward to game after game after game, beyond just the entertainment of like, oh, this was a fun event to come to, as if you went to the movie or a play or something, right, or a concert. So for me, sports are more than that. Competition is what makes them more than that. And once the competition becomes meaningless, it's kind of just whatever, right? And so Utah fans, Utah has, I mean, one of the most fun games I've watched in a long, long time, beating USC. Utah, and people forget this. Utah fans out there, all you rose-colored glasses people out there, you were favored going into that game. Vegas, who is extremely smart, they have money, millions and millions and millions of dollars riding on setting the correct line and the correct favorite for people to bet against. They picked Utah to win by 3.5. So Utah actually didn't even cover. Like, Utah did worse than all the money was predicting they would do, right? Utah was favored by 3.5. So you should have won. Don't storm the field if you're favored. That needs to be a thing. And it's not just Utah that does this. There's plenty of teams that do this. It's a big win. It was an exciting win. But you can't storm the field when you were the favorite, can you? Should that be a thing? If you're the favorite and you win, you do exactly what you were supposed to do. Maybe you actually do it a little bit worse. You won by 1 point instead of by 3 or 4. Should you storm the field? I feel like you shouldn't. I feel like you shouldn't. And it's not just Utah. This is not Utah hate. It's not just Utah that does this. You see this frequently. Can you imagine Alabama fans storming the field after wins? Like, I don't know. I'm sure they do occasionally, but I feel like that should be a rule. If you're favored, you can't storm the field, period. But it is exciting. It is fun. I've stormed fields many, many times. In fact, if there's ever a field being stormed and I'm at the game, I'm getting on that field just because it's fun. So I completely agree with that. It's really fun. The Tennessee fans, they stormed the field after beating Alabama. That's a big deal. They haven't beat them in 16 years, 17 years, whatever. And, you know, Bama is Bama. You know, you take down Bama, that's a huge deal. They rush the field. They tear down the goalposts, and then they hike around the city with them and throw them in the river. I don't know. That seemed a bit odd. But it's fun. It's fun. So storming the field is fun. I'm not going to be a fun sucker there. That's freaking really fun, actually. But just being real, if you're the favorite, maybe act like you've been there before, act like you expected it. I don't know. But getting back to Utah praise, now that I had that little moment of talking down on Utah and their fans that stormed the field as the favorite. Utah goes in goes in for a touchdown to, it looked like tie the game, right? So it was going to be a, you know, it's a 1-point game. They kick the extra point. There's like 50 or 40 seconds left. Enough time that you're kind of nervous. Like maybe USC could go get a field goal with how much the teams have been marching back and forth on each other. And I'm thinking for sure they kick the extra point. You're at home. You're the favorite. All of these things, you've been moving the ball well. Like all of these things to me led me to think they'll kick the extra point and they'll win in overtime. And Kyle Whittingham with balls of steel says, nah, we're gonna win or lose right now. And it wasn't really necessarily that because, again, there was time for USC to go get a field goal if they needed to or if you know if they could. And goes for a 2-point conversion and gets it. And it was, I mean, it was insane. That took serious, serious guts. And Cam Rising with the game of his life. I mean, literally the game of his life. And for Utah fans out there, please at me on Twitter, at Sean Bingham, if I'm wrong. This had to be the best game of Cam Rising's life. The absolute best game of his life. The guy throws for, I got it right here, 415 passing yards, okay? 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. And then to go on top of that, he has 60 yards rushing, which led the team, and 3 more touchdowns, and the game-winning 2-point conversion, plus the game-tying, go-ahead, you know, it was supposed to be a game-tying touchdown. He scored it. Then he's like, nah, I don't want that to be a game-tying touchdown. I want that to be the game-winning touchdown, so I'm going to do the game-winning 2-point conversion. Insane. 5 touchdowns, 2 through the air, 3 on the ground, led the team in rushing, 415 passing yards, no turnovers, no picks, no fumbles. Phenomenal game by Cam Rising. Like, stellar, out-of-this-world good game by Cam Rising. I can't imagine he's ever had a better game than that. So, Utah fans, at me if I'm wrong. After the game, Kyle Whittingham is being interviewed, and he says, this was the best, maybe he said most exciting, but this was the best game in the history of Rice-Eccles Stadium. He said that. The best game, most exciting game in the history of Rice-Eccles Stadium. And it's hard to argue that. I mean, that was a game, back and forth, electric, you know, score in the 40s, right? So there's tons of offense, not to the point where it's like ridiculous, like 65 to 63, you know, kind of thing. There's a little bit of defense here and there. The Utes even lost a fumble inside the 5 at one point and still win the game. I mean, Utah has a lot to be excited about. Again, the highest ranked 2-loss team in the country at number 15, 5-2 Utah, 3-1 in the pack. In the hunt for a conference championship, probably not in the hunt for a playoff spot, you know, with the 2 losses, but in the hunt for a conference championship and a Rose Bowl appearance, which is freaking fun. So that's cool if you're a Utah fan. So again, my only thing there is I feel like you shouldn't rush the field if you're the favorite. That's my only thing. Okay, to the NFL. Lots of going on in the NFL. Again, it's been 3 weeks since my last podcast, 4 weeks even, I think, because I was gone for so long. And I got to say, the one thing I want to talk about the most right now is Tom Brady falling apart right before our eyes? Are we finally watching his demise? Is it happening right before our very eyes? The guy, we all know so he's already universally known as the GOAT, okay? He has nothing left to prove to any of us. Like, he is the GOAT. He had a better career from, like, age 35 to 45 than probably anybody has ever had in their life, right? Like, meaning you could take Peyton Manning's entire career and it's like right there neck and neck with Tom Brady's 35 to 45 decade career, right? I mean, you've seen the breakdowns. The guy has had 3 Hall of Fame careers. Like, you could break his career up into 3 segments and say that was the only 7 years he played or whatever, and he'd make the Hall of Fame with all 3 of those. He is absolutely the GOAT. 7 rings, records all over the place, MVPs, league MVPs, Super Bowl MVPs, passing titles. I mean, there's just nothing he can't do, nothing he hasn't done. Pro Bowls, all pros, I mean, you name it, he's done it. There's nothing to prove. Did it late into his, you know, 30s and even into his 40s, dominating, winning Super Bowls. Nobody's ever done that, right? So all of that, and he retires last offseason, and we're thinking, yeah, good job, you know? Great career, you're the man. Unretires weeks later, and now he's going through a very public divorce with his supermodel wife, who we all know this divorce is happening because he can't give up football. He can't stop doing it. He can't stop neglecting his family and time with them for his obsession of competition and football. Now, from an entertainment standpoint, I like it because he's one of my favorite players to watch play football. He took the Buccaneers from irrelevancy to relevancy, right? Or irrelevance to relevance. He just does that, right? Like he is the man. But now he's going through this very public divorce. We all know it's because he can't give up football, and he's 3-3. So he gives up his supermodel wife. He's breaking up his family. He's going through this awful public divorce. For what? To be 3-3 and have the 20th ranked offense in the league? They can't score touchdowns. And it's not because they don't have weapons. Their defense is phenomenal, okay? They just need to go out and score like 23 points a game and they'd be undefeated, right? Like, their defense is stellar. And he has weapons. He has Mike Evans, one of the top receivers in the entire league. He has Chris Godwin, maybe the best number two option in the league. And then he has Russell Gage, a very serviceable number three option, and he has a great back in Leonard Fournette. So he has weapons around him. He has guys to throw the ball to. He has a guy to hand it off to keep the running game going, to keep the defenses honest. He has a defense to back him up, to keep him to where he doesn't have to score too many crazy points. Just go out and get 24 points a game and you'll be winning, you know. But now they're scoring like 20 a game and they're 3-3. They just lost to the Steelers. So it's interesting. He's 45 years old. Are we watching his demise? Is he giving up his family to be mediocre? I'm rooting for the guy, you know, and I'd love to for his personal life to work out great for him too. It's too bad that when you're that famous that it has to be public, but that's just the nature of the beast when you're a celebrity, right? So, but it's an interesting thing. And speaking of guys who are falling apart right before our very eyes, quarterbacks, Russell Wilson. Tom Brady is there. The Buccaneers are 20th in points per game. The Broncos are dead last, 32nd. 32nd, dead last. The Broncos give Russell Wilson this huge contract, and they're dead last in points per game. That's not what you want when you go out and give a quarterback a $100 million, $200 million, whatever it was, kind of deal. Now, that being said, the Broncos are absolutely going to fire their coach. Maybe after tonight. They play tonight on Monday Night Football. And if this goes poorly, he's gone tomorrow. He'll be gone literally tomorrow if tonight's game goes poorly. Russell Wilson's a guy that it seems like guys don't like to play with him. It feels that way. You hear reports about it. Again, none of us are in the locker room. I'm certainly not. But it feels like guys don't like playing with Russell Wilson. And I don't know why, because I don't know him personally, but it feels that way. You hear about it, and it kind of seems to follow him around. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. But if you're a Seattle fan, my friend was over here yesterday watching the Bills-Chiefs game. Great game, by the way. And we were talking about it because we're watching Red Zone, and you know I actually started Geno Smith on my fantasy team. That's how sorry I am at quarterback. But Geno Smith was leading going into yesterday. He was leading the league in completion percentage, leading the league in passer rating. And if you're a Seahawks fan, you're stoked. You're like, I am so glad we got rid of Russell Wilson. I'm so glad we didn't sign him to this monster contract to watch him do what he's doing. It's pathetic. So I'm interested to see what happens tonight in that game with the Broncos, because I think you might see a firing tomorrow. And I think it would maybe be in their best interest, because they got to see if Russell Wilson can be better than 32nd in the league in points per game. I mean, that's pathetic. That's not what they paid for. So, interesting thing there. Okay, moving on. A couple more quick things before wrapping up. The NBA starts tomorrow. I love the NBA. This is the best time of year. Is this not the best time of year? College football's in full swing. NFL's in full swing. NBA is starting up. Major League Baseball playoffs are happening. I didn't even mention that. I'll get into that maybe more next week as it gets into the championship series and closer to the World Series. But fall is so freaking awesome for sports. I love it so much. The title race for the NBA is as open as I can ever remember it being. So open. I'm excited to watch the Nets. Ben Simmons is back. Will he be a head case? Will he not? Kyrie and Kevin Durant are back. Are they going to be able to stay healthy and actually play games and coexist well? Very excited there. Russell Westbrook and all of that drama with the Lakers. How will he fit in? The Warriors just signed Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins to monster extensions, so they're going to be way over the salary cap next year. Draymond punching out his teammate Jordan Poole, which, geez, I didn't even talk about that. I mean, that guy, he is not worth being on the team. If you are the Warriors, get rid of that guy. I think you're going to see that happen because they don't have the money to pay him to what they do. I mean, they're going to be almost $500 million in luxury tax next year. They're not going to pay that. Steph is there forever. Draymond is first on the chopping block. Absolutely. You'll see Draymond gone maybe even this season before the trade deadline, but certainly by next season. He has a chance to pick up the option, but you got to think they're going to trade him, I would think. So I think they look to trade Draymond Green, especially after he punched Jordan Poole out in a sucker punch of his teammate. So we'll see what happens there. And even Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson, two serious injuries back-to-back, and he just wasn't himself last year. So I think they're going to be keeping a close eye on Klay Thompson. And is he really worth more money, more extensions? I don't know. I don't know if he is. He's one of my favorite players all time. But, you know, injuries and age will get you, and it feels like it's starting to get him. We'll see. But so much exciting stuff to watch in the NBA. You're going to see a lot of tanking as well, because we've got the best prospects in a long, long time coming eligible next year. And I'm going to butcher this guy's name, but Victor Wembanyama. Victor Wembanyama, the 7'4" Frenchman who is like Kevin Durant, basically, another Kevin Durant. And then you have Scoot Henderson also. So I think you're going to see a lot of tanking in the NBA on top of there being a wide open title race with a lot of teams in the mix. We'll see who stays healthy. So I'll give more NBA predictions next week, but I'm very excited for the NBA to start up. And then last thing, I watched The Captain, which is about Derek Jeter. You should watch it. I think it's on ESPN Plus. Really good. And it's all about Derek Jeter, the captain. And I just had this thought as I watched it. Alex Rodriguez was like the greatest player in baseball, like by far. And his insecurity or his desire to win a title or a mixture of the two led him to go join the Yankees, join forces with his rival, who was clearly better than Derek Jeter. He was the better player, really their entire careers. The better hitter, arguably the better fielder, more home runs, better batting average, like everything about him was just better. And he goes and joins the Yankees, changes positions, plays second fiddle to Derek Jeter. And I'm just watching this thing and I'm like, I think A-Rod would have had an even better career had he never gone and joined the Yankees. He probably would have even maybe gotten a title at some point. His confidence, you know, wavered pretty dramatically when he was in New York. It was like he couldn't quite handle that spotlight, it felt like, the New York media and stuff like that. And he's in Derek Jeter's shadow, even though he's the better player. It's just a weird dynamic. And he spent like half his career there. And I just started thinking, I was like, I wonder if A-Rod would have gone down as like the greatest player in MLB history had he just not joined the Yankees. As weird as that sounds. Because he only got one title anyway. He probably could have gotten one somewhere else. So, interesting thought. That's all the time I have for today, you guys. This has been fun. Sorry for the long break. I'm stoked to be back next week. More NFL, more college football, and I'll give some NBA predictions for the season. That is it. I am out. Peace. We got the strength. We got the
fire. Thanks for hanging with Simply the Best Sports Take. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and check out stbsportstake.com. Simply the best in sports. 'Cause we are warriors.